This is a Podco original.
This is Iconic with CCR. I'm your big sis, Christy Carlson Romano, and on this show, I peel back the curtain of my life, talking all things fame, money, beauty, wellness, relationships, and more. And here's a disclaimer. No, f*** it. There's no disclaimer. Enjoy.
So, I got a call from Amber,
yeah,
who said that you were the one who suggested that maybe someone call me to be on The Real Housewives of Austin.
Oh, that was me.
Let's talk.
What? You almost ruined our life.
No, she did not. No, she did not. Let's talk about it.
So when that contract got cut and it was COVID and I had a newborn baby and I moved to Austin, I was like, who the f*** am I? Everything is gone. All that safety, all that kind of comfort, all that identity, all in a flash. I was like, okay, this is it. If I've never seen a bigger sign, this is it. And I have to do it, and I have to do it myself. And anyone that I'm going to work with is going to have to value me for more than just making a nice picture.
Oh my gosh, how amazing. The icon. Welcome to Iconic with CCR. I'm your host, Christy Carlson Romano. And here beside me is my husband and also producer, Brendan Rooney.
Happy to be here with you.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. This is kind of more of a team effort, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. Today we have an amazing guest, the iconic Iskra Lawrence. She is a well-known international superstar model, as well as a businesswoman and a mama, an Austinite. And I'm just really, really excited to talk to her today, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Let's get into it. I'm so happy you're here.
We're doing it.
We are.
This is iconic.
You are iconic, Iskra.
So are you. Look at this fit. Look at this fit, everyone.
This fit, this bob. What's up?
Right.
I was literally like, I feel so extra, but I am owning it. I'm stepping into that. Mm-hmm. Come on, Iskra. And then my husband's here too. My Woo! Ultimate hype man and producer, Brendan Rooney, mm-hmm. in the house. And you know what's so cool is that we live in Austin together, don't we?
We do. And I feel like Austin is this hub of incredible founders or like people who are on a mission to really build something impactful. And I feel like not enough people talk about that. Like everyone assumes everyone's in New York or LA. And it's like, there's a lot happening in Austin.
What else is happening in Austin?
You know, kids are being made.
Whoa, congratulations.
Those of you who are listening, I literally was just at a beautiful gala with you.
Yes.
Brendan, you got to come too.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Sometimes the husbands don't come and we just want
to
dress
true.
Up.
I mean, my husband avoids all social outings if possible.
I'm not at a lot of them.
Like literally right before we went, he's like, oh God, I got a suit. Wait a minute. I got to find my shirt.
Yeah. Literally, Philip's always like, do I have to go? And if I release him and say, no, it's okay, I win like wife of the year. Like he is just so pumped to go sit back down on the couch. So.
So relatable.
Yeah.
So relatable. Oh, I love your husband, Philip. He's great.
Today's episode is sponsored in part by Honeylove. I'm a big fan of Honeylove. I love shapewear that really makes you feel like a woman and not a problem to be managed. Seriously. I am all about body positivity. I always have been. Ever since I had my daughters, shapewear has become a part of my life. And Honeylove is truly a fantastic business. And whether it's for a wedding or an event or an everyday boost, you gotta give Honeylove a try. It's the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/vulnerable.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You guys have had a podcast in the past.
Yes.
You're like such a power couple. You were mm-hmm. recently just on the Austin, was it Austin Lifestyle
Austin
magazine?
Austin Lifestyle.
They were mm-hmm. right there on the cover. I literally had it on our table.
It's, for like, we're watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there right now. It's on our table right now.
I was so proud. Yeah. But yeah, no, Austin really truly is such an iconic place mm-hmm. for wonderful folks to get together. Iskra, come on. We got to talk about this, girl.
Tell me.
So I got a call from Amber.
Yeah.
Who said that you were the one who suggested
Who suggested this podcast?
No. What? Who suggested that maybe someone call me to be on The Real Housewives of Austin?
Oh, that was me. That was me.
Let's talk. What? You almost ruined our life.
No, she did not. No, she did not. Let's talk about it.
That's hilarious. Yes. I didn't know that.
Well, I quite enjoy Housewives, and I quite enjoy, if you've been watching the New York one, the new spin, mm-hmm. that it's actually like empowered women, boss bitches. And I was just like, I was literally watching this kind of unfold. And then weirdly, my friend sent me a screenshot from Reddit, a dentist I know. And he was like, Iskra, I think they're scouting for a Real Housewives of Austin. Check out this Reddit feed. And I was like, this is coincidental. So I reached out. They're called Shed Productions. And yeah, they basically said they are casting for shows in Austin. Not necessarily just Housewives, but a general casting. And they asked me, do you know any literally iconic women in Austin? And I was like, well, this is a no-brainer.
And Amber Diamond, who I love dearly, is one of our mutual friends, and she was like, Christy, okay, just take the call. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So what's going on with that? Do you know?
You know, they basically are identifying like interesting groups of women and then seeing how their relationships are. So they're probably stalking us all right now. They're probably watching this video right now.
Oh, totally.
But they have to come up with like an interesting concept, right? And the only thing I will say is we probably lack drama, maybe. I don't know. I feel like
we lack drama.
Yes.
Yeah, I told them that on the phone.
Yeah.
I was like, just so you know, we like really like each other.
Like each other. That's the problem right there.
And we don't really drink that much. Like,
right.
Like,
I'll start a fire right now. Yeah. Let's
and
get that drama
like
going.
We like our husbands.
Yeah, like we really build our husbands up and like they don't cheat. Like it's great. No, but that's really good though. If you think about it, that is a great opportunity. I don't know how you'd spin it, but... You know.
You never know.
You never
know. And it might be a completely different type of show as well that we were talking about. And just like women building empires or something like that, you know?
Yes.
So who knows what it could become.
Speaking of empires, you have so many different empires. But the empire of Iskra has been resounding in my ears for several years now. Ever since I moved here, I had heard of you and I was like weirdly nervous.
Stop.
Because I was like, you know, when you move to a new city and you've got the cool chicks that live in the city, you're like, gosh, I hope I can run into them or meet them. And then, you know, Amber and I met.
Purity in like a human.
Yeah.
Just truly. Actual ball of kindness.
But there's connectors in this world.
There is too.
And I love that. I've never really discovered that until I hit.
Because people do gatekeep, especially probably in our industries as well. They're just funny about their relationships. And I've always found that bizarre too. Have you ever had like one of those girlfriends and then you meet one of their friends and you kind of know immediately, we got on better than you two get on. You know what I mean? And I remember one time it happened the opposite way. Like I had a really close friend and she met another friend and then they became like best friends. And our other friend was like, are you not upset about that? And I was like, absolutely not. Clearly they were meant to be together. You know, like they're like soulmates. And I'm still friends too, but it's just like, yeah, she spends more time with her now, but I'm not holding on to that relationship in like a resentful way. But I feel like that can happen. Have you ever had that happen?
I've had that happen several times. Brendan has had to witness it, haven't you?
Really?
Dudes, we don't do that. But yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Yeah, I mean, I got names at the top of my head right now. I could just start slinging.
Let's just say I don't talk to it. Let's just say, unfortunately, I had to draw some healthy boundaries with some bridesmaids that I had in my actual wedding, like right after my wedding. And so sometimes those separations can be really hard.
Yep.
And then the weirdest thing is like what you had just said is that they're still friends with people I introduced them to.
Yep.
And I'm not really even in LA anymore.
Yep.
So it's like you just gotta let go, let God.
Totally.
Let everybody be happy, basically.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. I feel like maybe it's a only child thing. I don't know. I don't really like need to hold on to things if they're kind of broken or just I will literally let them go. And then maybe they'll come back. But
I wonder if that, you know, my first brother, so I'm the oldest of three, and my middle brother was born 11 years after me.
Oh, wow.
So I was like very only, and I have that very same much. Approach where it's like, if it's not, you know, if it's not meant to be, you just let it go and move on.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's a byproduct.
To the point of like it feeling a bit cold.
Yeah.
Not purposely, but
I've heard that about me before.
Even exes and stuff. Like, I'll mourn it very quickly, but then very quickly be like, well, I'm not going to sit and just like wallow in this. I'm just going to move on and get on. That will help everybody.
What sign are you?
Virgo.
Oh, so, that is
logical.
I don't even know what that means.
He's like, he doesn't know.
What does that mean?
Virgos are very rational people. Very rational. And they do not sit in their feelings. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful, but they're executors.
We can make a plan.
Do you have any like Aries in you?
Oh, well, my son's an Aries.
There you go.
But I attract a lot of Aries friends.
You.
I did. What I heard today from my midwife was that we keep some of the blood and the chromosomes from all of our children. So she said, imagine women who have sons actually have male chromosomes in their body and their blood.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's wild. I've always thought it was really strange because I did not have a son to have a penis inside.
Right? Everyone in my family's been inside of me. You know, that quote.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Speaking of empires, let's talk about Saltaire. Mm-hmm. So legitimately, I had obviously been kind of like girl crushing on you, but hadn't really been able to hang out with you. And I had been sent Saltaire. Mm-hmm. Was that from me reaching out or what happened exactly?
We reach out to a lot of people. Not that you're not special. You were very, very special. But that's one of the ways that we've really grown our business is a lot of gifting. We are lucky our price point's pretty affordable. You know, if you had a $500 dress, you're not going to go send out 700 of those. But for us, we just wanted people to discover the brand and love it. And our biggest kind of marketing tactic is just having people organically post and share the product that they like. So for us, the more we send out, the more chance we have of, and you know, it could be a huge influencer like yourself, or it could be someone small with like 5K followers. But if they organically love the product and share it, that's absolutely our best marketing.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yes.
So Saltaire has the most amazing deodorants and like the most intoxicating smells. I love them, love them, love them, because I actually didn't know about this, but they can be pretty harmful deodorants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can have aluminium in, or they can have baking soda, which is really irritating.
You gotta say it again. Say it one more time. Say
aluminium.
Oh, it's the best.
It's beautiful.
It's the best.
Oh,
I think it's beautiful.
I love it. I love the English accent.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
So, and even just some natural products that aren't as tested, which there was this whole push to like clean, 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 and kind of like, but a lot of the, you know, essential oils aren't actually tested.
Mm.
And they can have levels and different irritants in them that is actually really dangerous for your skin. So, you know, I don't like to talk too much about ingredients or fear mongering, because I think the industry does far too much of that and has scared people away. I just think you listen to your body, and it's good to try lots of different products, but, you know, do your own research. I think it's very hard to trust certain brands that have a clear like fear-mongering prerogative to make you feel like you have to avoid something or use their product. And we've just never gone about that. You know, we've been Target clean since we got into Target. But we also know that synthetics and safe synthetics can be great products, and they can work better on your skin than other, you know, more unregulated ingredients.
So walk this back for me. How do you go from like being a successful like international model that you've been for like American Eagle and Adore Me currently, mm-hmm. and then how do you decide, you know what, I did you always know that you wanted to create something outside of just modeling?
I did, because modeling made me feel disposable for literally 20 years of my life. And even, you know, working with Aerie after 6 years, you know, COVID happened and my contract got cut. And that was the final kind of feeling of like, oh my goodness, I thought that was family. I really thought I was in this with them forever and we built this brand together, but it's not. I don't have ownership over that brand. And so for me, I just never wanted to feel that again. And I also listened and learned and put myself in rooms that most of the time models either aren't invited to or don't even think they could go into. So I would be in fit meetings, in marketing meetings. I was even in sales and boardroom meetings, because I understood that I'm not just the face of this brand. People are trusting in the brand because of me and what I say, the messaging. I can wear the thousands of products. I mean, the amount of shoots I did for all types of different brands, but especially swimwear and lingerie, like you're talking thousands of pieces of swimsuits. And I always feed that back to the client. So I was like, that's added value that I'm bringing. But at that time, I only recently kind of learned in the last few years of ownership and equity, how important that is for my long-term wealth. And so that was really my goal. It was like, let's take everything that I've learned And I watched and I built, you know, my own fragrances with Airy. So I got to meet fragrance houses and learn that process, but I still didn't own it. You know, I just got an upfront fee to put my name on something that I did help create. And I was like, okay, just learn. And one day it'll be your time. So when that contract got cut and it was COVID and I had a newborn baby and I'd moved to Austin, and I was like, who the f- am I? Everything is gone. All that safety, all that kind of comfort, all that identity, just all in a flash, not even a call from them, like a call from an agent, just like, yep, that's it. Oof. I was like, okay, this is it. If I've never seen a bigger sign, this is it. And I have to do it and I have to do it myself. And anyone that I'm going to work with is going to have to value me for more than just making a nice picture.
Oh my gosh, how amazing.
Yeah. I mean, she just, you know what's on. Interesting? Like, this show could end up being called Brendan Learned Something. Because I know nothing about I'm such a like stereotypical dude about so many things. But I can tell you this, your branding is unbelievable because
her entrance is insane.
I didn't even know this was your company. I just, right. I remember going into Target and being like, that product, Salt Air is like, I'm like, it stands out. Like, I noticed this. I like the packaging. I like the branding. Like, this looks good. Like, whoever's doing this, I remember thinking, I didn't even say it out loud. I just remember thinking, I'm like, yeah, this is really good, whatever this is. And then she's like, do you know that's Iskra's thing? I was like, get the out of here.
That's so cool.
Like, I had
that's
no idea.
That's called a sound investment. So wait, so Saltair came out of that?
Today's episode is sponsored in part by Honeylove. I'm a big fan of Honeylove. I love shapewear that really makes you feel like a woman and not a problem to be managed. Seriously. I am all about body positivity. I always have been. Ever since I had my daughters, shapewear has become a part of my life. And Honeylove is truly a fantastic business. They have this signature X that basically targets and sculpts your midsection. And 40, had two kids, very helpful. It makes you feel really tight. You can find that in the Super Power Short. And it links perfectly together with their bra set. And it's really, really flattering on. It also has boost bands, so it lifts your butt up and makes it look really great. Their products make you look good and feel good. And whether it's for a wedding or an event or an everyday boost, you gotta give Honeylove a try. It's the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/vulnerable.
Yeah, so Saltair, I'm going through my postpartum, which, as you remember, it's an interesting time.
Yeah.
And I knew that I've been in fashion, but fashion could never be really fully inclusive. There would always be a size limit. There would always be a trend or something that prevented everyone feeling like they could be welcomed to that brand. But body care, body wash, that was like everybody. Philip's quote is, everyone has to wash their ass. Yep. Philip tells me that every single day. When I tell him my sales updates, he goes, well, everyone has to wash their ass. Oh, Philip, but it's kind of true. That isn't how I led with, you know, the business ideas that we have. But it was like, this is a truly inclusive product. And what I realized during postpartum is one of the most important ways that we look after ourselves is just cleansing, having a shower that can take 1 minute or 15 minutes. But that time where you're kind of on your own, in your own space, it's like my mental detox. It's the time where I find that moment of peace or I get my ideas, or it's just this full reset. And that, if you have a great product that gets you excited to do that or takes you somewhere that's, you know, maybe more tropical that you have good fond memories of, or like it can evoke something that's really transformative, and you can do it at a really price inclusive price point. So that's how I felt. I was like, I can make a really impactful product that's actually affordable-ish and hopefully better for the planet than a lot of other alternatives. I just need to make this look really fucking cool, you know? And working with my team, I have an amazing business partner called Ben Bennett. He's from Thailand. So his idea of like, let's lean into the types of fragrances that we don't traditionally get here. And let's lean into those other fragrances that are more exotic and unique and evoke more than just vanilla or more than just lavender. So we really got to experiment and explore, and I had that fragrance background with my own fragrances, and then he has a fragrance brand himself, and we just really kind of put all of our ideas into a pot, and Yeah.
How do you explore fragrances when you're creating it? Did he like send you little vials of things to smell?
Definitely. Yeah. We talked about what kind of, first off, I enjoy smelling and what makes me feel, you know, energetic or relaxed, and really filling out that initial fragrance kind of like category at the beginning. It was like, let's try and speak to all the different moods that I have, right? Mm. When I want to feel feminine, I'm going to grab something more floral. When I want to feel a bit more sexy, maybe I have something more musky, our sandalwood, our santal. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's times where I want to feel more masculine and more badass. And then we go to the ozonic scents. So really playing into all of those feelings that I feel like I want to evoke, or thinking about our target girl. It was funny, before we ever got the target deal, that was just our absolute goal. It was like, that's the retailer we want. Sephora came knocking on the door. Even Costco's been knocking on the door. But Target, we just know, like, that's our person. And so we also developed those fragrances in mind, thinking, okay, someone who's going to Target, we want it to be exciting and unique, but it also has to be slightly familiar. Mm. So that's really kind of our middle ground of where we fell on.
That's so genius. I mean, and it speaks to the fact that you must understand who you're making your content for too, because everything you do is so engaging and you have such a loyal fan base. Mm. That's incredibly hard to do in this day and age. I'm just curious, how do you feel like you were able to create a loyal fan base?
I really think it's because I shared the most vulnerable parts of my life. Mm. And I was consistent, right? I was consistent with my own storytelling throughout my journey of, I mean, I really started on Instagram when I was like 20, mm-hmm. and now I'm about to turn 34. So 14 years of people just seeing every single iteration of me, from the girl who was super insecure and moving to New York and scared of shit and broke and like trying to figure it out very much on her own, and letting people into that, talking about the impacts of my eating disorder and photoshopping when I saw photoshopped images of myself, and kind of teaching them, listen, you might not even realize it, but you're probably feeling the same way as I am because you're consuming photoshopped images too. Mm-hmm. You're consuming these messages of toxic diet culture. You might not be in the modeling industry, but you're still constantly told you're not enough because when you feel that way, you're a motivated consumer. Mm-hmm. That's like one thing I say in my TED Talk. If you're insecure, you're a motivated consumer. And it felt like this double-edged sword because I knew I was going into an industry that did prey on people's insecurities. But what could I do to change that or reverse that or try and undo the damage? And that was sharing my story and speaking up and posting unretouched images and asking brands to do better. Like, that's something I can still do all the time. The last Cup She campaign I did, they've never done an unretouched campaign before. Why? Because I guess no one ever said they should. So it's like, you have the opportunity to constantly like push the needle a little bit if you choose to really have like a mission and stick to it. Because if they'd have never seen me do that before, and then I came out with, we should do this unretouched, they probably would think, why? Let's just stick to what we know, that's safer for us. But because they'd seen the impact that I'd created and that my followers would appreciate that, then they felt more likely to create that change. So I think for anyone who wants to create change, it's that consistent messaging, it's that community who gets behind that message and that mission. And it's just constantly, you know, being authentic to that.
Why are you so awesome? Like, how did you get this way?
Virgo, remember?
No. Yeah. Yes, I know.
You started, but you mean when you were younger, yeah. Am I wrong? You were a competitive swimmer. Is
yes.
that right? And then didn't you get into like a theater school?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had the drive,
yes.
apparently, since you were young.
The correct? Delusional drive. You know, the Delulah everyone
Delulu.
Talks about. Like,
Delulu girl.
But you need it.
And listen, if you saw the town I was from, and my dad's one of 10, and like, they don't even understand what's happening still. And it really just, it's just a testament to like, you cannot give up. And like, the amount of no's I got, the amount of agencies that rejected me, at least 10 agencies to my face when I'm like 15, 16, like, nope. Nope, nope. And giving me, you're too mature, you're too curvy, you're too commercial, all these things.
Of course.
And it's just like, I'm going to try again. I don't know how I couldn't switch it off. And I still can't switch it off, right? Even though there are days where I'm like, wouldn't it be great to just delete everything and go disappear? I'm definitely not there yet. But like, I don't think I'll ever be able to switch it off. Mm-hmm. There'll always be something else because life is fruitful. And it's just like, you have to be willing to go out there and pick your fruit.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a dope quote.
Life is fruitful. Go pick your
fruit.
Pick
that fruit, baby.
Fruit. Yeah.
I love that, Iskra. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to rot
yeah.
and hit the floor, right?
then it's not going to help anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just love your can-do attitude. Like you had mentioned earlier before we started rolling here about dealing with online haters. And we obviously, I think everybody online deals with that.
Part of the,
I think right. even online
you sign up for it.
Yeah. I think even online haters have online haters.
Everybody does. It's the snake that eats itself, right?
Yeah.
What is your, you know, how do you combat? I mean, you have obviously a very large following and you have brand and you've got to think about brand safety and all that kind of stuff. Do you have like a rinse repeat method, you know, that you use or like what's your, yeah, I'm curious.
I remember vividly before signing with L'Oreal many years ago, them saying, we're going to do a social media audit of everything you've ever posted. And I was like, oh, this is a first. But that was very much, and this is probably 2016-ish. I think that was just the reminder that like things on the internet live forever. And luckily I hadn't really said anything too controversial. I've had moments where I've nearly been canceled, but they've always been kind of misled. Or, you know, there was one time, for example, where basically I did the cover of Self magazine. And this was 2017, I think.
Little magazine.
Yeah. And I specifically told the editor-in-chief and a bunch of people and my agency knew I did not want the meal plan. So most cover stars get like a meal plan. So it'd be like, I don't know, Jennifer Hudson on the cover and then it'd be Jennifer Hudson's meal plan. Mm. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like that's, for me, super toxic, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, a couple of months later, I'm on a flight. So, you know, and at this point, I'm really at the pinnacle of like engagement on social media, getting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of comments and whatever. And the cover came out and there was a meal plan. And it was like a low calorie, low carb meal plan. And I was like, it was like Iskra's meal plan. And it's in a physical magazine. And immediately, it felt like it didn't even take people 30 minutes to start making these videos where they were like, Iskra lied about everything. Like, how could she do it? I had open letters to Iskra Lawrence. I had all this stuff. And I don't think I threw up, but I was just crying. I was like, it's not me. And I just felt completely out of control. Luckily, I contacted the Self team immediately. And I was like, you're going to have to make a public apology and tell them this was not my fault. So I can understand, luckily, you know, that wasn't my fault, but I experienced a small kind of like 2 days, 3 days worth of that cancellation. And it was ugly. Like it showed really the ugly side of people to the point where one of the big influencers who wrote that open letter to me apologized 4 years later. Wow. She was still sitting with it. She was like, I've never been able, like, I know I've apologized before, but I really wanted to. And she sent me like a long voice note and... And I was just like, I never want to be like that person. Mm. You know what? If I do get canceled one day, God forbid, you know, it's not during this wonderful time of Solitaire because I wouldn't want my team to go down with me. But like, God forbid, I'm the one trying to cancel someone else. Like that feels worse. So I feel like I can rest in peace because I've never called out anyone on the internet.
Yeah. Ye without sin cast the first stone, right? It's
right.
Like every single person has done something at some point in their life that they're not proud of. And what's crazy is most of the cancel, you know, push is coming from things that are very often taken out of context.
Absolutely.
Right? That are clipped, that people have no real understanding of and more. So
And people are a different time in their life. Yeah. Not giving them an excuse. And it depends. There's a very big, you know, from zero
huge
to 100
range.
Of
huge
what
spectrum
you're canceled for.
Human.
And I've even seen people like us struggle to have a conversation about it because we could get canceled for not being sensitive enough to the fact that someone who, you know, did something illegal and criminal versus someone who literally just
misspoke or something like that.
There are courts for that.
Yeah. Right. But yeah,
and it's not the court of public opinion. It's a court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is one time I got hacked on Snapchat and I decided to find out who this hacker was and I contacted them on Twitter and it turns out it was a 16-year-old boy in his basement and he literally poured up his heart to me because he said no one's ever tried to speak to me before because I was polite. I was like, I know you've hacked my account. Congratulations. Clearly you've got some good computer skills. I just want to know why and could I have it back, please? And he was like, wow, that was so polite. Thanks. He goes, no one's ever been nice to me. And I was like,
that's so sad.
Yeah, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I felt like I get more attention for like hacking accounts than I do just in my real life.
Wow.
So that's where he sought his validation. And I was like, You need to use those great computer skills for something positive. And trust me, when you do positive things in life, you will reap the rewards of having community and other people respecting you, right? So I don't know what he's doing now. If you hacked me back in a long time ago, let me know if you're...
Please don't hack her again.
Now working.
They're doing good stuff.
I was hacked. I was hacked on Twitter, and then they started selling PS5s.
Oh.
Whoa. They weren't selling them. They were pretending
to sell them.
Yeah.
Do you have those weird like fan things as well? Because I constantly get told, oh, I gave you $1,000 on your other account. I'm like, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Oh, I think that's happened once or twice, but that PS5 one was
the wildest one was when this was a wild one.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember this? She got some, I'll never forget this. Somebody from, I think like the UAE, United Arab Emirates, it was either Dubai or Abu Dhabi or something, was like, you know, this prime minister type wants you to come attend this party, such and such a thing. I was like, well, these things are legit. You know, I know that this type of stuff happens often where they'll want a celebrity to come and make an appearance.
Yeah.
And they started getting into the specifics and they were so nuanced that I was like, you know, my military spidey sense wasn't even really going off.
Wow.
And I'm like, if something's too good to be true, it typically is. And I could just tell you that the amount of money was bananas. And so I was like, I need to dig further. And so I hit up my Intel community.
Oh,
and I'm like, hey guys, what's the deal with this? Is there stuff like this that's happening right now? And they're like, oh yeah, it's a new scam. Like, and at the time it was new. I think it's pretty well known at this point.
So many
But
scams.
They would take the money, they would give you the money, and then they would need a portion of the money back they gave a like a pretty nuanced reason why.
I think it was like for travel, your passport.
For a certain fund that needs to come from a certain, and then they would, and then they
take
before, yeah, and then they take and they cancel and they take your money out.
Ooh.
And cancel the rest. And I was like, wow, pretty sophisticated at the time. I think this was like 2015 or something.
Really?
Like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of remember that.
Or 2016 maybe.
Brandon takes care of all my security. I'm very blessed with having literally a military grade bodyguard.
You need someone to be switched on. It, just in general as well, like going through the career you have in so many different ways and transitioning to a mom, I do feel like you need a protector.
Yeah.
Your husband,
because you're putting
Philip.
Yourself out there. Yeah, I think I've attracted a protector for sure.
Can we talk about him?
And
you guys have been together a while.
Yeah.
He's a music producer and an amazing dad.
He is. Incredible dad. I can't talk about it because I always cry, actually.
Oh, and you're pregnant now, so that sounds fine.
Yeah, that's one way of the edge.
I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about Philip. That's okay. But I'm curious, how did you guys meet?
So we met at a Grammy after party, and I should not have been there whatsoever. The Grammys were in New York for like the first time, and I was in LA, but lived in New York. So I flew back because my friend randomly had one ticket left. The whole thing was just really strange. And then my friend, Rachel, she just texted me and said, hey, I'm at a Sony party. You should come. And again, I wouldn't usually just go out on my own in New York. It can be a little bit dangerous. But I was like, oh, I want to see Rachel. I'll go. And then he was there and he'd been following me or like... He DM'd me a couple of times. I hadn't seen them since 2015. And then he just looked at me like as if he'd seen a ghost. And apparently he had two other chances to meet me where one art director that he'd worked with his artist Tory Lanez at the time, had a like, I'm shooting Iskra, you should come. And he was like, no, I'm not ready to meet Iskra yet. And so he knew that night was like his night.
That was the moment.
That was the moment. And he just came up to me and said, Iskra, are you in a relationship? And I was like, oh my gosh. And word vomited. I was like, not currently, but I'm unavailable emotionally because I went through a heavy breakup and I'm just trying to be single. I just was, and he was like, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you're my dream girl. You're not
By the way, you casually dropped the name Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
You know, with that, like, that's going to explode on the internet.
Controversial.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness. But anyway, continue, sorry.
Yeah. So I had no intention of texting him back. Bless him. He thought he'd done it. He thought that was it. He walked away thinking he was the coolest guy in the world. But like I said, I was not lying. I was emotionally unavailable. I was like, I just came out of a long distance relationship in like the November, October time. And this was January. I'm still living in New York at the height of my career. I was like quite happy being single for a while. And so he realized that I wasn't going to text him. And he was like, the signal, what's wrong? Is my phone broken? And then he went round this party and somehow got my number. He texted me the next morning and I was like, the guy last night, how did you get my number? But then I laughed about it and I thought, you know what? I like the effort. You know, in New York, there's a lot of opportunity and often guys, you know, just go home with anyone. But he really fought to get my number and followed up. And then we talked and we were friends from like the January to the September.
You were just friends?
Yeah. We met up multiple times though. Work kept putting us in the same place. It was weird. We met up in Miami, but I brought my two girlfriends with me. We met up in LA and I was on set and he came to set. And everyone that he met loved him. They were obsessed with Philip. And, you know, he just made everyone feel comfortable. He made me think, I don't think I've dated anyone that could just come to set and sit and chill and have communications with people and just, I don't know, to handle that.
Yeah.
And then September, we ended up in Paris at the same time. And I mean, you can't fight Paris.
Yeah. The love was
right?
in the air. Right.
You can't fight Paris.
You can't fight Paris. Yeah. We've yet to be in Paris.
We haven't gone to Paris.
Should do
no. Engaged in Venice.
Oh, yes, that's pretty not, romantic.
Yeah, but not Paris.
What did that feel like?
Oh
like,
my gosh.
What was the buildup? When did you know you were going to propose? And then when did you plan Venice? Or
it's a whole story.
It's a whole story.
He got super sick on limoncello.
Ah, they give you limoncello out like it's tap water.
I mean, this is a story we've definitely recycled. Oh. But let me tell you. The level of destroyed, like
wow.
It was, you know, getting on a random person's scooter and like ending up at a random place that she happened. I'm like, oh, you're back. And they're like, it was crazy. But anyway,
we used to party.
Listen, she moved into my apartment within 2 weeks of dating me in New York.
Yeah.
And we were like, she's like, no, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I knew like at that point, I'm like, this is it. You know, this is it. She gets it.
I sometimes am so grateful for the fact that at the most random parts in my life, mm-hmm. I was shown the way.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was that I kept the faith
mm-hmm.
or what we can speak to that. I mean, in some cases, it's like you weren't really looking.
Yeah.
But maybe I don't know exactly what to help a friend who might be single listening. It's like, should they keep, and you know, people, I didn't date online and you didn't meet him online.
No. I briefly tried online dating.
Did you do Raya?
No, because that was scary. I can't remember who immediately messaged me, but it was like someone who shouldn't have been messaging me for sure.
Like they were married or?
Yeah, and older, and I was just freaked out. Mm. So that was, it was literally a 24 hour and then a delete. Mm. But the other one I tried, I think was like a match.com or something more or something, because I'd had a couple of friends and they're still married from dating apps. But the guy like idolized me too much. Like it was too much very quickly. And it was just a little bit like fetishized almost. And I think that's what's really tricky balance with what we do. And if you have a social media presence, it's like mm-hmm. people really think that you're this, like they put you on this pedestal and it's like, you're just a normal person. So I think that's kind of tricky. But in general with dating, it's definitely about keeping your heart open, but also people's expectations, I feel like. I don't know. I've had friends that were single and I've asked them kind of like, what are you looking for if you're looking for? And then they reel off this list. Can't be bold. Da 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 needs this. Da 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 da. And I'm like, the thing is like you meet the soul and like it's the soul that you connect with. And like, I didn't really know any, obviously you're attracted to the person, right? But it's just kind of like none of the other stuff really mattered. It's hard to explain. Like I met Philip and it was like, yeah, maybe, you know, he hasn't got a house and he maybe hasn't got this or maybe he hasn't, but it just, none of that mattered. Mm. And I get why people feel like they need to have something, especially if they themselves have a level of success or a level of income. Because there's that whole thing of like, and I've dated someone who earned a lot less previously and it didn't work out because he was insecure about it.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean I shouldn't give another chance to someone else who earns less than me. Mm. I found a very secure man. And just because I'm still the breadwinner, but he's super secure in who he is and what he brings to the table. So I think that expectation of like, oh, I dated someone with a kid in the past. It was terrible. I'm not doing it again. You've got to get rid of all the expectations.
And once you become a family, even if your partner, male or female, mm-hmm. is technically, quote unquote, a breadwinner or not, I think all of the money is all of your,
just
especially when you have a kid.
Yeah.
Like when you have a kid, it's just a big pot.
Right.
How are we doing this?
Yeah. And just the value of life is just so much more than monetary value. Obviously, there are things you might need in life that require money. But I just don't even view people like that. I don't know. So I think there's just maybe certain expectations. Maybe you don't even realize you have them because maybe your friend thinks you need a lawyer, you need a doctor, you need, or maybe it's family who have put certain pressure on you, or you need to date someone who lives here, or, oh, I would never date someone that does X, Y, Z. I can't believe I'm with someone that every day doesn't close the drawers. But is that really the deal breaker? Like,
that
no.
Is the funniest thing.
But the guy cannot close a kitchen cabinet to save his life. And if you would have told me that that's what I would have to deal with every day, I probably wouldn't like, no, that'll be a deal breaker.
Oh,
but
no.
But here we are. It's not because he's so incredible.
Wow. It's true. People are very
what's
picky.
What's my biggest?
Brennan literally leaves these cans. We have beautiful.
Everywhere.
Oh,
that's men.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah, God bless you, honey. God bless you.
If that's one of my worst qualities, I'll take it.
Exactly.
Take
but
it.
That can make or break some people's relationships.
That's wild.
Yeah. Some people will literally be like, and what I think what the biggest mistake is when you don't bring it up or just let it be known, because Philip knows that it, I hate it. And it now is like a funny thing,
right?
Rather than I let it resent and sit for so long. And then one day I'm just smashing the cupboards closed and I bring it up in an argument or something. He'd be like, you're fucking crazy. It's just some cabinets. But if I, you know, held it in for 5 years, it probably would, you know.
These cabinets been open for 5 fucking years.
You
I
know,
swear to God, I'll put your
and
head
it's
in
screaming
it.
Baby, and there's this, and there's, but he knows from the beginning, and now I'm like, and you can make, you know,
I
just
love this. It's so real. It's so raw. It's so real. Hey, speaking of finances and stuff,
yes.
how do you manage your like investment strategy? I'm kind of curious about that.
Not very well.
That was not what I expected.
Not very well, because I've been through the ups and downs, and I love talking about money because I really don't think, you know, as women, we get to speak about money in a way that's open, where we get to talk about failures or successes and not get judged for it. And I think it's so important.
Girl.
Right?
Girl. Okay, wait. No. My number one video, I just want to say on YouTube, is that how I lost my millions or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like people want to, you know, dogpile on that because it's like, oh, I was like, why is that so crazy that I lost money? I was a child actor. Like, of course.
Isn't this part of the deal?
It's part of the deal.
But think about every podcast you listen to where you only hear the person going, now I just made 10 million and I exited for this. And I, 10 years ago, though, I was broke and homeless. But you don't hear when the person is broke and homeless what they're doing. And I think that that's a mistake we make in society. It's like, it's only cool to talk about failure when you've got so successful that the failure was like, you know, I made it through that. Some people don't make it through it, and that's okay. Or like literally for me, I've definitely had many business ventures fail. I've been taken advantage of plenty of times in contracts and just this industry. But I've also taken some really big risks that didn't pay off. You know, I'm doing a current house renovation and lost $300,000 on that. I put, I don't know, 200,000 in crypto, that basically went. You know, there was lots of things that I tried and failed. But I think the interesting one for me was there was a point in my life where I had $1 million in the bank and I felt so rich. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I managed to save $1 million. But like now, what do I do with that $1 million? It's really, really scary. And so I knew that I had to save it to obviously do my own brand. And luckily, things have kind of gone well in that region. But I did end up at a point where I invested all of it to a point where I then didn't have a stable monthly income. And we started having to retract again. And I was like, man, I had that $1 million cash. How did I? But I didn't get a financial advisor, you know? And I think that it's really hard, the difference between wealth and richness. And wealth is a different ball game. Like wealth is what's going to make me sleep at night when I'm 60 really well and know my son's good. And so that's what I'm currently trying to figure out and achieve and listen and learn from other people, right? And what they're currently doing. And I think diversity of portfolio is number one. Like I'm invested in property now. I've got multiple equity deals with different brands, like in the fitness space, in the supplement space, and in fashion space. And you just want to kind of have your fingers in lots of pies. And
what supplements and everything like that? Can you talk about them?
Well, the one I can't because it's, you know, not here yet, but
okay, it's private.
No, Oxfit. So that's like an example of, there are plenty of deals I've taken in the past where it just you get paid to post. But I think a lot of influencers, I hope, listening to this, or if you're in the industry, try and add some equity into your deals if you're in that position to leverage. And when you think about your diversity of income, you've got to think long term. And yes, of course, taking those one-off nice deals is great, but what's going to pay off later in line? And it doesn't always work out. I invested in Public App, which is an investing app. And when Robinhood happened and it all blew up and, you know, the crypto situation, what I thought I was doing for the 8 posts I did and what I thought the little, small, tiny bit of equity could be worth, you know, upwards of like 200,000, it's definitely not going to be worth that now. Mm. I'll be lucky if I get back the amount that I'm going to have to pay to buy the stocks. So it's really interesting and it's a gamble. So again, like, how comfortable are you with gambling away the money that you have? Like, I personally really like property. You know, we've always got to have somewhere that we want to live. And
everybody
I really
needs
like
to
Austin.
Live somewhere. It's just fixed. Like everyone needs
property
to clean their
fixed.
Ass.
Yeah. And land, you know, if you want like a, in my opinion, a low maintenance investment, like land's not a bad way to go.
We have some.
Yeah. You know, I really thought I could get in there and understand crypto and really get into it the way Philip does. Not my thing. And I'll let him, you know, have a little bit of money if he really feels passionate about something. But, you know, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we bought some land in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a random thing, but it made sense at the time. And now
it's
with
not,
the way the world is,
random.
I'm kind of happy that
nothing I do
it.
Is ever random.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's there for a reason.
I would love to buy land here in around Austin, but it is crazy expensive.
It's expensive,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's expensive, but think about how expensive it will be 5 years from now. I mean, they say in the next 25 years, the three biggest cities population-wise, and this is going to blow everybody's mind, will be Houston, Dallas, and Austin.
Wow.
All three in Texas. And there's no coast in Austin.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
No, I know. Mean, like, just spread out the yeah. whole, yeah.
Yeah. So it's wild.
I believe it. You know, they're building that huge movie.
Bastrop, right? It's
in, yeah. Like take something. On, to take on Atlanta and basically bring a lot more of the kind of movie and
how,
TV.
How do you feel like. About that? Do you want to be in, do you think you want to be more in movies and TV at all?
I'm a bit scarred. I'm sure you're more scarred than me, but my little toe that got dipped into the industry when I was young was I went to an acting school and got told I should just get my tits out and go on reality TV to get famous. I was like, okay,
insane.
Thanks. Ugh. And then I got typecast. I only got the dumb blonde cheerleader, the dumb blonde sex worker, the dumb, and you're like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I'm reading the scripts. And I'm like, this, I don't even want to read this. Like, it's super uncomfortable. I remember going even just for commercials. And I remember one time it was for a gum advert and they were like, you know, you have to kiss in the casting. And I said, I don't want to kiss 50 guys. So it's just, I don't know. I've been a little bit scarred. I know my comfort zone. Absolutely love modeling. Always will. Mm-hmm. I think I bring something unique to it by being myself, being unretouched, being super bubbly, thinking about trying to inspire people rather than be aspirational. Really try and, I want people to feel what I'm feeling rather than look like what I look like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you have in the best possible way, an infectious personality that gives people energy.
Thanks.
You know, like I feel like I'm-
I know, she's just, literally,
in
I was watching
I mean
her.
It in a truly, in a really
and
positive
she's glowing.
Way.
She's yeah. like, her frequency is so pure. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
Aww.
It makes me really happy that you are the first guest on Iconic because-
yes. Yeah, I'm really proud. When you told me that, I was like, that's iconic.
It's a new energy. Well,
yeah.
It was for a reason. You know,
yeah,
for a reason.
I appreciate that.
Definitely for a reason.
We definitely have some questions to ask
you. Oh, yeah?
Get
yeah.
into it.
So we have iconic moments that we wanted to ask you about.
Yep.
What is the thing you're most proud of?
You want to say your child, obviously, mm-hmm. and I am, but I obviously want to give more than that. Mm-hmm. I would say donating the 20,000 from my first pregnancy announcement, because the two women that I was able to give that money to both had children from it. They both got IVF and they're literally two humans in this world from me finding them and giving them that financial support. And like that makes me super proud. Because of course, everyone around me was like, you should just keep the 20,000 and use it towards the renovation that you, you know, lost all that money on, or the business that you're growing, or, and it just didn't, I just felt the need. I don't know if that was God's calling or something, but it was like, no, in this moment I have to give. And I had that same calling again with this pregnancy. And obviously there's other times you give, but like, it's such a gift to be able to, you know, even just get pregnant and have a healthy pregnancy, that I just, there is a part of me that feels guilty for it because my best friend wasn't able to. And so I always feel like, what can I do? I'm in this very privileged position. And then I say another proud moment was taking the risk of Saltaire. Like, I'm proud of myself for that because I betted on myself at a time where I felt like other people gave up on me, or, you know, at a time where I felt low, you know. And I think going all in on yourself in those moments is the best decision you can make. And luckily I had great people around me. I had Philip around me, my family who always believed in me, but you still have to get up and try again. And so I'm proud of myself for doing that.
Most difficult thing you've had to overcome?
I mean, the eating disorder was tough, because your whole sense of self, and my sense of self when I was, you know, younger going through this, was being skinny would be my success. It would be my happiness. It would be my fulfillment. It would be everything. That was the goal. And like I said, I'm goal orientated. I'm, you know, a perfectionist. And so I felt simultaneously like I was failing of even being good at having an eating disorder, which was hard for me too. Because people, again, they have a visual for what an eating disorder looks like. And I probably, the slimmest I got was like a US 2.4, but there were still slimmer girls, still slimmer models. And I'm like, I'm starving myself and I'm still not as thin as you. Like, I'm even not good enough at this. So there was a lot to unpack around that, and challenging my mindset after so many years of thinking like my freedom and my happiness and, you know, security and success. And when I would, my career that I was kind of had a little taste for that got taken away again because of my size, I'll accomplish all of it when I'm just good enough at losing weight. And I was never good enough at it. And it wasn't until I got told there's something called plus size modeling. And then again, I went and I thought, well, maybe that would work for me. And at that time, I was probably like a US 6. I got kind of laughed at too, because they were like, you're too skinny to be a plus size model. And I was like, what on earth?
Like, am I taking crazy pills?
Yeah, literally. I was like, so this small group of humans in this industry control everything? Like, that's it? You're either these sizes or you're not, and that's it? And I was like, there has to be another way. And I managed to kind of channel that eating disorder, like, ferocity of like wanting to fight to be skinny, because that's what I thought the success was, to rechanneling it to being like, I think the success is being different and standing out, because there is no other model at this size. Like, it kind of blew my brain. And then when I went out and pitched myself and undercut the agencies a little bit, and
good
just
for you,
you know, sorry, took the back door,
almost most of the time useless.
Yeah, a lot of the time, you know, yeah, they can help in some ways, but really what you need is the drive to just go after it yourself. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, there are brands everywhere that need people to represent their products. And a lot of them realize the value in their model or the person advertising it looking like their customer is actually beneficial. Yes, there's still a need for the high-end editorial models and that fantasy and that illusion. But most of the space, like, I want to see someone that looks like my next door neighbor with that drink. I'm probably more likely to drink it because I relate to that person. So really channeling that and that, and again, that made it sound like a short space of time. It was many years. That was my greatest accomplishment, and just like constantly not giving up and taking those small little steps. And anyone who's in their recovery journey from an eating disorder, you will understand it's not an overnight thing. And it's not like you don't have relapses, or it's not like you completely switch it off, or you might even catch yourself like being pregnant or going through a big life shift and starting to want to measure yourself again or control your calorie intake. And then you're like, whoa, okay, I thought I'd recovered from this. And then going back to that toolbox. So it's just constantly something that I'm keep being proud of, because I know how far I've come, and I want to keep that feeling so that I don't ever go back.
Wow.
I feel similarly in my sobriety. It's like, I'm mm-hmm. so proud of my sobriety.
Yeah.
It's like been 8 years now and it's like, wow.
Incredible.
The more I can understand the gratitude of
yes.
the pride.
Yes.
It kind of humbles you to like keep
instead
doing.
Of the fear of it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
That's like, that. I think, yeah, the focus of the gratitude over the fear or, yeah, is what can keep it, you know. Alive and on track.
Two different frequencies.
Yeah.
Okay, well then what's the thing you're most excited? I think I know. What's the thing you're most excited about for the future?
You know, I'm bringing another human into the world, so that's pretty damn exciting.
Oh, just that?
it took a little while as well, so I feel like, again, like God's timing. 2023 was rough financially. It was simultaneously rough, like personally financially, but my business and Saltair boomed. I don't take a salary from it. We reinvest everything that we can. But I remember Philip being not cautious. Like, are you going to push yourself over the edge? You're already burnt out. You're stressed. It's been a tough year. People have kind of taken advantage of you. Are you sure this is the time to get pregnant again? Like, I know how much energy that takes. And I know you'll want to protect yourself. And January 1st is when I ovulated. It was literally like, 2023 was not the year for this. 2024, let's go. And just everything this year feels like it's fallen very much into place. So I'm excited for that. I've been very open this year. I want to bring all my trust back. I want to, you know, give and receive. And
do you meditate or therapy? Like, how do you self-care to keep this frequency so strong within you?
Me and Philip do therapy together. That's for sure. He constantly is checking in with me. How are you feeling spiritually, emotionally, physically? We have really deep chats. He's better at praying than me. I'm not as consistent, but my prayer is usually a little bit less intentional. It kind of comes, it calls to me when I need to, whereas he prays every night before bed. But I would say, yep, done therapy. I haven't felt the need for it right now. I think the last time I had a therapy session was probably a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, yes, meditation-wise, I love to, and that's, I mean, work out for me is kind of just like clearing that space and that headspace. Meditation-wise, writing, journaling, and then just finding, yeah, those moments of peace. And it doesn't necessarily mean I'm here crossing my legs, but I just...
You listen to your body a lot.
I really listen to my body. I'm in tune with what I need. And I'll very much be like, Philip, I need to go and sleep or just remove myself. And I think that that's important within a relationship. We both really respect each other's space. And both, luckily, we love space. When I travel for work, other people kind of think, you're not checking in with Philip much. And I'm like, no, this is my time.
Yeah, Amber's like the same.
Yeah.
So my friend Amber and you guys went to New York for Fashion Week. Uh-huh. And she'll do that. She goes, I go every year. I go to Fashion mm-hmm. Week. And it's just, and the same thing. Her husband, Ethan, is such a sport about it. And you guys just slay and you have fun. And it's like probably so energizing.
And I feel grateful. I've got, you know, women like you who I look up to and aspire to. But I've got like women in my close community as well that live near me. That are just those friends that they don't drain you. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain friendships in your life and relationships, and it's like you just want people to build you up and re-energize and fill your battery up and make you feel that love and appreciation. And well, I feel in really
because you do that to them. It's like a mutual thing.
And but it's
yeah. No, I mean, sorry to interrupt. I was just gonna say it's you don't want to be around people that if you have a quality that's lacking. You know, you want to be around people that help that, not people that exacerbate something that you don't like within yourself, right?
Right.
And I found that, like within Austin in particular, sorry, just chiming in on this, that there's so much positive community.
I agree.
It's unbelievable. People
more than
have
anywhere.
Opened up their hearts to us, their Rolodexes. Like everyone just has by and large wanted each other to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very new. And refreshing for us having come from
New York
and Hollywood, you know, and I think, you know, day by day, my edge, it softens a bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm always like ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, Texas is as tough as you want it to be. You could go out there and have some fun, mm-hmm. ride some horses, still be tough. So what is the thing besides the child? Is there any other business things that we can talk about to promote? Is Saltair coming out with a new fragrance?
Like, I mean... We're coming out with the new all the time.
Okay.
But I am really excited because we have this beautiful body shimmer oil.
Ooh.
That's like perfect for summer. And it's actually a shimmer oil you can wear. It's not like sparkles.
Yeah.
It just like makes your skin look. Mm. And then we have brand new lip oil balm shades that I've been currently like testing and swatching, and it's been child approved. He is a big fan. I love them all. I'm like, okay, great. it's just so fun. The best part is I listen and watch and on our social feed, like all the comments. Mm. And there are constantly amazing customers who say, I want this in this scent, or why won't you do this product? And either we're already doing it, or I literally add it to the list, and me and the team are like, let's make it happen. It feels like they are our brand and we're just making it for them. And that makes it extra exciting when we launch a product that I know people have been asking for.
Amazing. I expect really big things from Saltaire and everything else for you this 2024. I mean, it's going to be a great year.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one.
It already is.
Let's do it. Let's make a great year and let's hang out.
I know.
Yes, besides the pod, of course. Yeah. And then where can everyone find you, Miss Iskra, if you don't already know and you're not already obsessed with her like I am?
No, you can find me at Iskra, I-S-K-R-A, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, and then my brand Saltaire, S-A-L-T-A-I-R, and we are on Instagram and TikTok. You can buy them in Target.
Just little old Target.
Thank you, Iskra. Love you.
Thanks for having me. Love you too.